This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Marine in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extended. Takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to the Bob Soucy Show on site of the Patriots Hotel in Chandler, Arizona. Of course, as the team continues its preparation for Sunday's matchup with the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 49. And we invite you to join us at webradiopatriots.com, as well as 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500 on our Ace Ticket hotline. And alongside producer Kevin Collins with Zach Lang back in studio in Foxborough, it is great to have you as always, and we will soon be joined by Scott Zolak, my broadcast partner on the Patriots Radio Network, as we prepare for the broadcast of Sunday's game on our flagship station, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, as well as the Patriots Network of affiliates across New England. And Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com will join us as well to talk about the state of this Patriots team at the moment and what we expect to see, of course, as they take on the Seahawks on Sunday. Now, we want to get to a couple of things about the team today and the media availability as well. We're going to hear from some of the players that we talked to today, their thoughts on the Super Bowl experience to this point, what has taken place, kind of the hoopla and the buzz surrounding this game the last few days, in addition, of course, to the mindset of the team as it explores the matchups and readies to play the Seattle Seahawks, of course, on Sunday. And as we do that, of course, we'll use some sound that we were able to gather from those players earlier today. Now, a couple of other things as well to touch on right away as we ready to welcome in Scott Zolak on our Ace Ticket hotline. We want to first and foremost wish everyone who's listening back in New England the very best under what are very trying circumstances. I know from my own family right now, with a wife and two small children, it's been very difficult the last 48 hours being snowbound at home, and certainly understand that people across New England have sustained damage, and many have gone without power, of course, and so many, of course, have been trapped inside, unable to dig their way out of the snow. We're thinking of you, and we certainly appreciate your listenership, and we appreciate, on behalf of the Patriots themselves, your support. And no doubt Bill Belichick was asked to address the people in New England a couple of different times in the last 2 days, and I think spoke so well on that particular subject. Thinking of those who maybe are still trying to get out of Boston and out of New England cities to come west to the Valley of the Sun for Sunday's matchup, but also to those who were going to be home regardless. And, of course, will do their best these next 48 hours or so to clear out some of the snow, get back to work, and then ready for the weekend and Sunday's game. And certainly a guy who's always ready for the weekend is my broadcast partner, Scott Zolak, Zoe on the other line, and we welcome him in. And, Scott, I know we've been out here for a few days. What are your thoughts right now about the state of this Patriots team's mindset midweek, the week of Super Bowl 49?
I think it's the same it's been each and every week this year. I think the focus, Bob, and you know, I just think that, you know, they're excited to get out here and actually play a game and get away from all the hullabaloo and the crazy talk from last week over what went on, and you know, put their focus on the Seattle Seahawks, a pretty darn good opponent that I think that's the best thing of this game. You're not playing a catty opponent, it's gonna whine, it's gonna complain about anything. They just wanna line up, play ball, and try and knock your head off, and that's the best part of it.
Well, let's talk momentarily about what has transpired the last week and a half. And Robert Kraft made a very bold statement 2 days ago after Bill Belichick certainly put everything on the line, it seems, on Saturday with a bold statement, seemingly both 100% convinced that there is nothing for the NFL to find on the Patriots, and they are waiting, of course, for the facts to reveal themselves. And Robert even said that if the Patriots are vindicated, he'd like an apology from the NFL. The one concern that some of us had about the team dealing with that issue was how it would affect preparation. Early last week, when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had to answer questions and kind of sort through this mess that was sprung on the team after winning the AFC Championship. Though Tom said today that he's watched more tape than ever before. So as you look at it, I mean, will it inspire them? And do you think it will have any lingering effect on the negative side?
I don't think it'll have any effect on the lingering negative side. The big part for me is the stopwatch has already started when the owner, when a billionaire steps to the podium, and he's the first guy that talks the second his team's feet hit the ground running here in Arizona, and he puts that statement out that he expects an apology from the league. It's in the hands of the league. They unequivocally know 100%. The league has nothing on them. There's nothing they can do. You don't do the self-scout, the self-evaluation that Bill Belichick talked about last week. I thought the coach was phenomenal on Saturday, where you see the emotion of the best, that he's pissed off for his team. I think he's pissed off for himself, for his staff, that they got to answer these questions. They know they didn't do anything. The quarterback knows it, and the owner's got their back. There was perception out there that the owner was going to do something. As far as I've heard crazy talk from even beat writers that cover the team, that think that he would remove Bill Belichick as head coach. His feet hit the ground here in Arizona, got off the plane, and said that's the best head coach in the league right there, and I got him. So you don't establish three concrete individuals with Brady, Belichick, and Kraft without full well knowing the league. The league doesn't have one damn thing on them. So you go out, you play the game, you win the game, you get your quarterback to be the MVP, and there ain't a damn thing this league can do about it without except issue an apology to all three of them.
All right, let's talk about the two football teams, because I think that was perfectly stated. Pete Carroll leads the Seahawks, former Patriot head coach, a guy you had a chance to play for, up against Bill Belichick. How do you compare and contrast the two?
Night and day. Now, not to say that night and day can't work. Hey, we could all party during the day. We could all party at night, right? You've seen both sides of that. I think there's different effective ways to do things in anything that you do. And it's the trick is to get all 53 guys to buy in. And I think that's the one thing both coaches do. And, you know, Bill's a little more conservative, you know, a little more by the book. It's flows things where, you know, you get this, that, or the other that you got to cover, and it's crossing all T's, dotting all I's. That's not to say Pete doesn't do it. Pete does it a little more loose atmosphere. He likes to have fun. I think Bill's a little more serious. But Pete has got the right type of individuals, the loosey-goosey, cocky swagger, defensive, hard-hitting, physical-minded players that he wants. And I think it's real impressive. And we talked about this on our show, too, that you know, a guy like Nick Saban takes the pro game. He tries to institute it at the collegiate level. He's done a pretty damn good job of that at the University of Alabama. I think Pete's really the first guy to take that collegiate atmosphere and make that work at the next level. And Chip Kelly's trying to do the same damn thing out in Philadelphia, but the tires went flat, no pun intended there. But they ran out of gas at the end of the year, and Pete's team did not. Pete's team ends up playing better at the end of the year. And that's the key. You know, this Patriots team, the Seattle team, were the two best teams, and it's the two best teams squaring off at Super Bowl 49.
All right, if advantages lie with one or the other, what are they? How do you break it down?
I think it's a chess match. I think this game comes down to Josh McDaniels versus Pete Carroll and the ability to get what formation you want, what personnel group, and kind of control that tempo and not have Seattle have the ability to adapt, to adjust, and not substitute. And that's going to move in and out. And the Patriots' ability on defense to take Darrell Revis. You're paying him $13 million for one thing, and that's cover somebody and erase that one single opponent. And you pick a receiver, you put Revis on him, and you negate that, and you make Russell Wilson beat with other people, and you try and hold Marshawn Lynch under 100 yards. I think there's three big factors in this game. Containing Lynch, eliminating the big play over the top. That's what Wilson has killed them in 2012 and in other years. Against other opponents. And you've got to be able to start fast. You can't start slow in this game. I think you need to get out front and make Seattle play catch-up. And there's keys to the game.
With Scott Zolak on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Bob Soucy Show. So Green Bay had success building that lead but missed opportunities. And, right. You know, it's not only – I think, play calling, but even play execution. There were times when Aaron Rodgers was off early in that game and the Packers had to settle for field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. Did you see soft areas of the Seattle defense, as good and athletic and fast as it is? Did you see some soft areas in the Seattle defense watching that game?
No, I don't see any weaknesses with them at all. Okay. I just think that, you know, their awareness for each other is impressive, because if you don't have the awareness and trust within 11 guys, where one guy can take a chance here or there, somebody else has got to cover up the inequities or whatever area he may vacate. He's going to take a chance to jump something. Their ability to cover each other's tail is pretty darn impressive, and they do that with speed. I think the biggest thing is, you watch them on tape, they're fast, they close. And it just seemed like Green Bay was really in control of that football game. It felt like they were up, you know, like 30-0, but yet that score was 6-0, 13-0, and it felt like Seattle was winning the game when they were down 6-0.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. And I think that the speed, even in a confined space, was evident when Green Bay tried to run in its goal line offense and got very compact. And it seemed like, you know, there were several plays there in those two drive sequences when it looked like they were going to easily score. And before you know it, they can't penetrate the goal line.
Right. And that's a tough thing, man. And that's what the Patriots, we've seen them, you know, kind of stall at times. Not only this year, but other years, where they get down inside the five, next thing you know, you get too finesse, and you just don't line up to try and run that darn ball. And you sometimes overthink the situation. If things are condensed, you need to spread them out, you need to widen split. I'd love to see them just get down inside, first down inside the five, line up at the front of Garrett Blunt five times, or four times. How many times it needs to get it in?
Well, speaking of the running of Blunt and Seattle's defense, some say if you're going to beat the Seahawks, you got to do it with the running game. And the Packers had 135 yards rushing in that contest on Sunday in the NFC Championship 2 weeks ago. Can the Patriots run on the Seahawks, in your estimation?
I think the Patriots can run on anybody that they want to. I think it's a mindset. I think they have enough players up front. And you look at this offensive line, I think it's a better run-blocking offensive line than an undefeated 07 year. Yeah, with Stork back possibly in the middle, that could be a big bolster for that line, and puts Wendell back outside, you know, at the right guard position next to Conley. And you got the two big tackles. You got guys that are 6'6", 330, run behind. You know, let them move people. And I think you got a tight end in Gronkowski that not only is a freak of nature in the passing game, he's one of the best run-blocking tight ends. So why wouldn't you take him and Devlin and have the ability to run the football when you want? And Blunt has a really good knack, Bob, as you know, for getting skinny, for creating yards after initial contact.
Hey, and so with Scott Zolak, of course, my broadcast partner on the Patriots radio network, when you talk about Seattle's offense, and you mentioned putting Revis on somebody in the receiving core, but Wilson has that ability, as you noted, to keep plays alive, and eventually somebody comes open. There was that third and long play against Green Bay when he hit Baldwin after, you know, again, a long, long time, where he was able to buy himself the needed time to make that play. For the Patriots defending him, do you expect them to use a contain rush, just try to keep him in the pocket, similar to the way they approached Aaron Rodgers or even Andrew Luck in the past?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I think, you know, maybe you put the more athletic guys out there, maybe not as much Chris Jones, Salinga, you know, maybe you leave Vince out there and find a way to get Chandler Jones, Keem Harris, Rob Ninkovich, and anybody else you think up front, maybe bring Hightower up on the edge. And let Collins, or, you know, maybe control the middle a little bit and just try and get your athletic guys that could close on him. Because if you got faster guys back there that can run around with him, you know, Russell Wilson will dip and move and then leave and bob and do whatever hell he wants if he's running around true big defensive tackles and nose tackles. I think you match skill with skill, and that's what the Patriots may be able to do up front with some depth there.
Now, if you go that route, do you expose yourself to, you know, Marshawn Lynch getting a lot more yards after contact?
But that's up to them. But I think that's where you got to control that down at this third and eight. You can't run the football. We all know that. I think that's where maybe you can lay your ears back. So that tells you that the Patriots need to be really, really good on first and second down. You know that, and Seattle's got to play some risk there too and try and throw the football maybe a little bit more on first down, where everybody knows in the stadium that they can run it. You know, they got to come up with something that could trick the Patriots a little bit, maybe open up with some passes on first.
Hey, so Russell Wilson is a guy that Bill Belichick compared to Roger Staubach. We all know that Roger Staubach, when he was at the Naval Academy, a Heisman Trophy winner, was one of Belichick's heroes when Bill was a kid growing up in Annapolis. That's about as high a praise, I would think, as that head coach can offer anybody.
Yeah, and I've never heard him use that comparison with anybody, and I've been covering his team for a long time, been around Bill, but I think it's his ability to sense pressure and where bodies are around him, and that's what Belichick talks about. you know, Staubach had the ability to move in the pocket. He wasn't the fastest guy. He had crazy legs, but, you know, that ability that, okay, this guy's closing in, it's almost like having eyes in the back of your head, if that makes any sense. But, you know, Wilson's got that ability to do that, and you don't want this game to be close in the fourth quarter because that's the guy that can kill you, can make the play, keep play alive, and make a play over the top like Ben Roethlisberger does with Pittsburgh.
Final couple of minutes with Scott Zolak. Zoe, both of these teams draw a lot of penalties. Both have very aggressive secondaries with the contact at the line of scrimmage and even after the five-yard mark. Have you seen anything differently in the playoffs, the way officials have called the game, and how big a factor will Bill Vinovich be as the referee with his crew in this contest?
It's funny. I mean, they have success with Vinovich in the playoffs. There's been a couple, you know, divisional games they've ref. They've been regular season games. And Vinovich is a guy that, you know, it's been around. We saw him in the playoffs. What was that? It was Baltimore week, correct?
It was.
When we saw Bill. And, you know, I just don't want these referees to become the games that where we're talking about a call here or there where there's some inconsistencies. Now, if they call it the same way, I won't have a problem with it. Where I go nuts, you know me as a broadcast partner right there next to you, I freak out when it's not called consistently. If you're going to call Darrell Revis for an arm bar, you better freaking call the other corner for an arm bar when Brandon LaFell's running through it. And that's what we found in Baltimore. Revis got called for the arm bar versus Steve Smith. LaFell ran through an arm bar, actually ran through a hole where there was no call to catch the touchdown with basically one hand to take the lead at 35-31. Call consistently, and I think we won't have a problem with it. The problem is there's no consistency as to how defensive interference, pass interference, holding, arm bar, illegal contact, whatever you want to call it, is called the National Football League. The league has a major issue with it. It needs to be addressed in the offseason.
And on a final note to Zoe, before I ask you for any kind of prediction or what kind of game you expect to see, when it comes to the third phase of football and these two teams' special teams units, I know Bill's talked a lot about the Seahawks very favorably, but you look at the two special teams groups, and the Patriots this year have produced a lot of big plays. Is New England a team that goes into this game with an advantage in that area in your mind?
Again, real quick, Bob. Sorry, somebody was trying to beep in there.
I was just asking about the special teams. In your mind, despite Bill's praise for Seattle and its special teams group, and it's a team that's blocked a lot of kicks and scored a lot in that area the last few years, do you think the Patriots go into this matchup, though, with the advantage in that category?
I really do. Sure, absolutely. And I think Gostkowski's got a little bit of ice in the veins. But I, you know, we've seen every single type of player on, whether it's a return, whether it's a block, whether it's a you know, a kick block. And I'm talking about a block, the legal blocks, whirly wind, the ability to set walls, the ability of Edelman, Amendola to set lanes, their ability for Matthew Slater to get down every single time. It seems like he's the first guy down the field, regardless of how many people are on him. Special teams, more so than any other year I've ever covered this team, should be a huge advantage for them in this game.
Yeah, and Seattle played without Paul Richardson, its primary return man in the NFC Championship. He's on injured reserve right now, and Baldwin, of course, had a fumble, tried to return a kick very early in that game. And, hey, finally, Zoe, what do you expect? I'm not going to ask you for a score, but what do you expect on Sunday?
I expect them to come out and play hard. I expect a lot of emotion in this game early. I expect two physical teams to go at it, maybe some little extracurricular stuff after the whistle, and we'll see how Vinovich and his crew handles it. I think if Seattle wins this game, I think they win it by 4 or 6 points. I think if New England goes away with this game, I think New England wins it by 13 or 14, depending on, you know, which team is in control of the game. If Seattle wins it, I think it's a low-scoring game where they win it by 4 or 6, and I think if New England wins it, I think it's they're clicking on offense and they're able to shut Russell Wilson down a little bit and slow down Marshawn Lynch. That's the big thing. Make Seattle play chase game with the running backs that they know they can't consistently just continue to go to because that chews up too much time on that clock.
All right, so I appreciate it. And I'm going to note, too, that you've got an interview coming up on Patriots All Access with the quarterback himself, Tom Brady.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, thanks, buddy. Scott Zolak, again, you can watch him and Tom and listen to them as they converse, one former quarterback with the current quarterback of the Pats, on Patriots All Access on the Boston CBS affiliate WBZ on Friday night at 7, and, of course, thereafter over the weekend on Patriots.com. Coming up, speaking of .coms, we will visit with one of the best in the business, Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com, previewing Super Bowl 49 here on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! pastrami.
No pastrami.
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you back to our remote location on site at the Patriots team hotel in Chandler, Arizona. Bob Soucy with producer Kevin Collins, and now a pleasure and a privilege to welcome in one of the best in the business and a guy who's been so gracious and great to me since day one, even before I called my first Patriots game, none other than Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com, whom you can follow at Mike Reese. And, Mike, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I know it's an extremely busy time for you.
Well, Bob, this is a pleasure, you know. I mean, you got to find the sane ones around here, and there aren't too many of them, so I found one, you know. Let's do it.
No, not many sane ones and not many sane moments the last week and a half. What are your impressions of the state of the Pats right now, their mindset, considering all that they've experienced going back to last Monday after the AFC Championship game was in the books and the first reports of underinflated footballs came out?
Well, I would start with this. I think the tone was set here in Arizona by Robert Kraft on Monday night. I mean, that was a shocker, and I think it really was a galvanizing type thing for the team to hear the owner come out and publicly put his support behind Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and also put the NFL, which he's such a big part of, on notice, you know, for what's going on. And I think really, that got things going, Bob. And I've sensed a team that has been loose, that has been having a good time, that has been embracing the moment. And I was just, thinking back to what Dante Hightower said today. He knows that toward the end of the week, it's going to get a little more serious. But at this point, I think they're in a very good place for my sense of it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think even Bill's been very relaxed the last couple of days, even when handling questions or refusing to answer questions about a subject he doesn't want to talk about anymore. Deal with him,
yeah.
Do you feel the same?
I do, Bob, you know, and I think I'm surprised at that. You know, I went back to the last time they were in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. We remember, you know, he was that way throughout the week, and everyone was saying, oh, what's gotten into Bill Belichick, you know, and he had that great line that, the hospitality, you know, in Indianapolis has been great ever since the 4th-and-2 call, and that set the tone for that week. And I think a lot of us in the media figured this was going to be a tough week with Bill Belichick because of, you know, why would he want to go through this, all this media stuff that's mandated by the NFL, when the NFL is making life harder on his team with this investigation that, as Robert Kraft said yesterday, that they feel is hogwash. So the fact that Belichick has sort of risen above that, Bob, I got to tell you, maybe we should all, maybe everyone would do that, but I'm not sure I could even do that myself. So I've been impressed by that.
You know, with Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com, one thing about Bill and the Pats over the course of his career in New England is that the team has always been able to compartmentalize and maintain its focus regardless of adversity. Certainly no team in recollection faced what the Patriots did as an organization last summer, and yet the Patriots were able to maintain their focus and in many respects overachieve. The one thing I was concerned about, though, Mike, at the outset of all of this hysteria is that would it draw Bill away from pregame preparation, breaking down the weaknesses and strengths of Seattle, installing the game plan, and for that matter, the same for Tom Brady? Would he have his full focus on the task at hand and be able to invest the kind of time needed when there were so many questions and, of course, so many issues to deal with away from football? And yet Tom said today, with a case of the sniffles, that he's been watching more film than ever. What does that say to you?
Well, so here's my thought, Bob. I do think that they probably were a little further behind than they would have been otherwise. And I think it's the benefit is that you have 2 weeks, you know, and you can always catch up. I just think the schedule is probably a little bit different than it would have been, you know, had this not come up. I don't think it's as much about time as it is the mental state of, you know, the mental state of mind, if you will, where Tom Brady talked about it. Bob, he was so honest. He said, you know, just rocked him. You know, it really hurt his feelings. And he had to get to the point mentally, you know, that he was in a good place. And as he's going through that process, that's the time that, you know, he would have been watching this stuff. And so he's obviously caught up. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But I think, you know, last week it was. And I also go back, you know, everyone talks about Bill's Saturday news conference. And I went back and watched it multiple times. And if you watch him right at the start of it, Bob, You know, he takes a deep breath, and you saw, like, a relief in his face. You know, he said, how you doing? And you know, he said good. You know, good, good, good. And you could sense he needed to get this off his chest. And I think that, to me, is what I would say stands out more than anything. And I don't think time will be an issue, because the 2 weeks, you can always catch up.
How about health? Mike, you were close to Tom. You conversed with him today. Should we be concerned about a case of the sniffles or a cold for Tom Brady?
Well, it's never really what you want. You know, the biggest game of the year is coming up. You want to be feeling your best physically. But, man, we've seen Tom Brady turn in some of his best performances in his career when he's under the weather, when he's not feeling well. So I wouldn't think that would be a factor. At the same time, you know, I do think it's notable, and I don't think it's anything that anyone that was watching him, Bob, over the last 3 days couldn't tell themselves. You know, he's got, you know, some bags under his eyes there, and obviously sounds a little nasally, and he kept wiping his nose. So just asked him the question if he was dealing with a cold, and he said yes, he doesn't expect it to be an issue, and I think I would go along with him on that. He did tell Sal Palantoni of ESPN that he's eating a lot of garlic. So just, Bob, at the hotel, you might want to keep your distance when he comes back.
I'm just hoping that I didn't give it to him, Mike, because I've been, like everybody else, it seems, battling you know, with a bug of some sort and a constant cough of late. Mike Reese is with us from ESPNBoston.com. Speaking of health, Brian Stork was back at practice last week on a limited basis. We're still waiting on the first practice report here in Arizona. But, Mike, what's your inkling about the rookie center?
Good chance. Good chance to go here. That's the sense I have, Bob. You know, and I do think, you know, they feel good about it, but it's always one of those things that you need to leave yourself a little wiggle room. But, you know, there was a lot of question with him when the injury happened in that divisional round game, if he would end up on injured reserve. And the fact that he hasn't, plus the fact he's been practicing on a limited basis, I think puts him in position to be at least a game-time decision. And then at that point, you know, you test it out and you say, biggest game of the year, you got to go for it. And, you know, I remember Rob Gronkowski in the last Super Bowl. You know, if that was a regular season game, there's no way he would have played with that ankle sprain. You could probably make the same case with Brian Stork. So then the question becomes, Bob, you know, you don't want to, you know, is Brian Stork at 85% better than Ryan Wendell at center and Josh Klein at right guard at 100%? And that would probably be the other side the coaching staff would be considering.
All right, Mike, against a defense that has been so good for the Seahawks the last 3 years, a defense that's aggressive, but yet at the same time doesn't need to blitz a lot to put pressure on the quarterback, a defense that's very fast, that allowed only 6 points off 5 turnovers in the NFC Championship against one of the best offenses and quarterbacks, even if not at full strength or full health in Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Are there vulnerabilities that the Patriots can try to exploit going into this game?
Well, one of the things that I see is that defensive tackle, you know, I don't think there's not a Haloti Ngata there. You know, there's not that big body guy in the middle. And my feeling is if they can just sort of get these guys moving a little bit, they're so fast, but if they can, you know, it's not necessarily overpower them because they cover space so fast and they play physical too. But I think maybe with some zone-type runs, maybe they can sort of use their aggressiveness against them. And I sort of look at those two spots in the middle of that 4-3 at defensive tackle. Kevin Williams, very good, you know, a veteran. But I think they face better, Bob, you know, and that's the one area I look at and I say maybe if they can just get the running game going and win that battle at the heart of the line of scrimmage, it'll really help them settle things down, keep them in third and manageable. And that's the first area that I would focus on. And also, too, the other thing I'm curious about is how the Seahawks corners, and this includes Richard Sherman, I just want to see how these big, long guys fare against the quick Edelmans, you know, the quick Amendolas. And I remember watching that game when the Patriots played Seattle in 2012, and man, did Brandon Browner have a tough time, you know, with, you know, the Wes Welker type. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious if they've seen those type of guys on a consistent basis and maybe the Patriots can make some plays on.
Yeah, Wes Welker had a big game, over 100 yards in that contest in 2012. And I know last week that Troy Aikman noted in conversing with Aaron Rodgers before the game that he felt there was a bit of a soft pocket in the middle of that Seattle defense that the Packers were going to try to exploit. Mike, along those lines, too, how advantageous is it for the Patriots? They use a lot of different personnel groups, as we know, but they can do a lot of different things, even with the same personnel group, trying to really manipulate the tempo of this game and also prevent Seattle from substituting, dictate the matchups they want.
So Bob, is this the idea of keeping Seattle on the field defensively and using a lot of personnel groups? I didn't quite catch the question.
I'm being able to do different things even with the same personnel group.
Yeah,
the Patriots.
Yes.
When you talk about lining up to run with a zone scheme, but also being able to throw with the same personnel, but doing different things, maybe flexing out your fullback or using the two tight ends a bit differently and so forth.
Yes, yes. And to me, this is part of what I love about watching the Patriots offense. And like an example would be, when they go with Hooman and Gronk, you know, with Edelman and LaFell, and that's your base offense. You know, your sort of two receivers, two tight ends, and let's say it's, you know, Shane Vereen as the running back, and they go empty, you know, and it's like, well, you wouldn't think that, you know, but they do that because they have so many versatile parts. I definitely think, you know, that could be part of what they do, but I don't, to me, the Seattle, and maybe I have this wrong, but I don't look at them as much as a matchup defense in terms of, you know, when you go three receivers, we might go nickel, or, you know, we'll stay base in this. Like, they sort of play what they play, and they just win matchups. And maybe I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but I feel like at the end of the day, this is just going to come down to, like, receiver against a cornerback, man-to-man coverage, who makes the play, you know, in the critical situation, sort of boiling down to just surefire execution, I guess.
Great points, as always, Mike. With Mike Reese, a couple of final minutes, let me ask you about the Seattle offense. I asked Scott Zolak this question as well. Bill Belichick compared Russell Wilson to Roger Staubach, the hero of Belichick's youth. Any higher praise from the head coach for an opposing player in your years of covering the New England Patriots?
Well, because we know how much Staubach means to him, that was right up there. And I love the way he specifically explained it. When he talked about how he can Houdini some plays right out of there. And it also leads me to another point, and no doubt, I mean, it is a great compliment, of how the Patriots defensive backs have been talking about this plastering technique. I think that's sort of an interesting X's and O's thing to talk about, because when Russell Wilson is extending plays like he does, that puts stress on Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, Kyle Arrington, Devin McCourty, to plaster, you know, the receiver or tight end they might be covering for a longer period of time, and that could also be a key in this game.
How about Marshawn Lynch, Mike? He's so impressive, of course, with his yards after contact, the best in the league when it comes to that. A guy who didn't run especially well against the Pats in 2012, but they certainly have the utmost respect for him. How do they handle him?
Well, maybe they just say in his ear that I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. And maybe that rattles him, Bob. And maybe he just doesn't know how to respond. No, I'm just joking. First thought on him, 11 hats to the ball, right? I mean, I thought the Packers did a pretty good job at that. And hard to bring down with one guy. Rob Ninkovich mentioned to me, tough guy to tackle low, need help. Rallying to the ball. Also, don't lose sight of him as a receiver. You know, some people just think of him as a power guy, but he can make plays in the passing game. And then the read option is part of that, too. I know that's a concern for the Patriots, and they've watched a lot of it. And Rob Ninkovich, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, that's going to be a big challenge for them, reading keys. And that also ties into the importance of stopping that running game. Dante Hightower said today, you know, keep that running game in check. Try to get them in those third and long situations where maybe they're a little bit out of their comfort zone, because that run game sort of sets up everything for them.
Hey, Mike, I've kept you longer than I said I would, and it's always great to talk with you. It is especially great to talk about football. So looking forward
Absolutely.
To Sunday. I want to Yeah, I won't ask for your prediction. I'll tell the listeners to of course, continue to read your great work on ESPN.com, ESPNBoston.com. But again, thanks so much for your time today.
Awesome, Bob. I always enjoy it. Thanks a bunch.
All right. The best there is. Mike Reese with us, of course, from ESPNBoston.com, previewing Super Bowl 49. We'll continue with more right after this on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Pumped up for this week's game?
Beast mode! Protein bars for everybody!
Well, we are too!
Energy!
Call the Bob Soucy Show on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back in Chandler, Arizona at the Team Hotel. And speaking of the webradio@patriots.com address, got a couple of questions that have been left over, as well as some comments from the PFW guys, Fred, Eric, Paul, Andy, had the 2 hours, of course, filled with a lot of their commentary and as well input from fans around Patriot Nation all over the world, but they didn't have a chance to get to some emails, which we'll try to sift through right now in a few moments remaining in this hour before we look ahead to Super Bowl 49 in the next hour with the view of several Patriots players from their availability earlier today here at the Team Hotel. We'll start with Warren, who emails in. Been a while since I wrote in, but I think the Pats win this one 31-20, and Hightower or Collins get MVP. I think Seahawks offensive struggles, especially early, will be important, and I do believe the Pats will be up by two scores going into the half. Enjoy the game and look forward to the post-Super Bowl shows. End quote from Warren. Well, Warren, I certainly think that Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins will play an instrumental role for the Patriots one way or the other. If New England is able to contain Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, those two guys are going to have a big part of it. And, of course, if Seattle has success, it stands to reason that Dante and Jamie will not have the kind of impact we would expect them to have on this game. It's a high-scoring prediction that you've made. I think that certainly these are two teams that are capable of scoring in that range on any given Sunday. But with this particular game, I would expect the score to be a lot lower. I mean, when you consider what the Seahawks did against the Packers offense, limiting Green Bay to those two field goals early and giving up only 16 points in their first half, considering that the Packers started almost all of their offensive series and ran almost all their offensive plays through the first quarter plus half of the second quarter in Seahawk territory, it's a very impressive defense, and I think the same goes for the Patriots. So I would expect this one to be a lower-scoring affair, but you know, you never know. And certainly with these two particular teams, they have shown they can win different games by many different scores and as well in different styles, though each team has an outstanding defense. The Seahawks, in fact, really the last half of the regular season, as good as the Patriots' defense when it comes to a scoring defense, if not better, averaged only 6.5 points allowed down the stretch in the final six games of the regular campaign. Peter writes in as well, Brady has a cold question, and I'm having flashbacks to the 05 AFC Championship game. Well, Peter, you know, like Mike Reese just told us a little while ago, the one thing about Tom is that, you know, he's been putting in the time doing the film study. It was evident today that he had the sniffles and a bit of a cold, but nonetheless, I think at this stage, not too much to get too concerned about. So many people in our traveling party have been dealing with colds the last few weeks, and we have seen some of the greatest performances in athletic history come from athletes who are somewhat under the weather, if not very much under the weather. And the first one that comes to my mind is Michael Jordan, of course, in the NBA Finals. And maybe sometimes players will embellish a little bit, but I think in Brady's case, as it stands right now, I saw Tom walking through the lobby on the way to practice after the press conference today, and you know, maybe he's got some bags under his eyes, in the words of Mike, and his sniffles could be heard, and you know, his face might have been a little flushed in the eyes of those who talked to him at media day today, or at least in the media availability for the Patriots here. But he looked pretty good to me walking through the lobby, for what that's worth. And given Tom Brady's resolve and his track record, one would expect him to be good to go on Sunday. Another emailer writes in, and this is from Andrew in the Ukraine. And Andrew writes in, one of the things that annoys me is when teams' offense get credit for what the defense does. Pick six are not a function of the offense, and Seattle had quite a few of them. I'm not sure how far their offense drops statistically without that aspect, but I know this. In the last nine Seahawks games, they averaged 8.6 points in the first half. Taking a more recent sample of the last five games, the statistic is worse, 6.7 points in the first half. I don't think this is a great offense. Pats 30, Seattle 16. You know, conventional thought is that it is a Seattle team that has an offense that isn't among the more dynamic, but I still go back to a couple of different occasions when the Seahawks had to score, for example, whether it was early or late, they did so to get to this point against the Packers 2 weeks ago. When they played the Arizona Cardinals here in Glendale, they had a record-setting offensive performance. At that point in time, Todd Bowles' defense for the Cardinals, it was really a defense that was about as good as any in the league. And that was the first meeting of the two teams this year, and it was a huge performance by Seattle. Luke Wilson, the tight end, had a big night. Russell Wilson, the quarterback, had a huge game. The Seahawks still have that ability because of Marshawn Lynch and the running attack and Wilson's ability to make big plays. He doesn't necessarily have the same kind of passing attack as most other teams around the league. It's not a high percentage attack. It's not an offense that it seems can consistently pick up small chunks of yardage in the passing game, but they can do as Wilson did, maybe not to that extreme in the NFC Championship, where he might struggle early, but yet he still has that ability to make big plays deep downfield. When he throws, he can throw with a purpose. And, you know, the one play, again, that stands out to me in that particular game was a third and long when he was able to connect with Doug Baldwin, who finally got open. And for the Patriots, as good as their secondary is, they're going to have to cover those receivers of Seattle a long, long time, as Mike Reese said, plastering the Seahawks. And another thing about the Seattle offense, the way I look at it, take all the numbers out of it, their receivers get criticized a lot, or at least they don't receive the credit they believe they're due from many in the national media, and in particular from former players, whether it's Deion Sanders or Chris Carter, and they play with a chip on their shoulder. Now, I'm not saying that Baldwin and Kearse and the rest of that crew is as good as Edelman and the Patriots crew, and certainly Rob Gronkowski is a different matter, but I see a lot of comparables just in terms of this. Patriots have guys like Edelman, as noted, seventh-round pick, a quarterback in college. It took him a while to establish himself in the NFL as a receiving playmaker. Danny Amendola took time as an undrafted player who spent some time on a practice squad of Philadelphia after being cut by Dallas to establish himself. Brad LaFell, not a high-round pick. Really, it's now in his fifth year after four seasons with Carolina of consistent improvement year to year, but it's now this season where he's really emerged and become a much, much better receiver, again, given the offense around him. But they are not what you would consider guys that came into this league with the reputation of being elite. And I think the same thing to me for Seattle. Their receivers might be called pedestrian by Chris Carter, or might not be all that, in the words of Deion Sanders. But all I see are guys who make big plays when it counts the most. They did it in 2012 with Wilson as a rookie quarterback to come back and beat the Patriots in Seattle. And they did it, of course, 2 weeks ago against the Green Bay Packers to win that game despite trailing by double digits late in the contest. Another email from D. Lou in Worcester. Historically, Tom Brady and our offensive line has had the biggest issue against large, powerful D-lines. Seattle's front seven, though highly athletic, might play a style that benefits us. And I think that's a very good point, and Mike made it as well, especially when you talk about the interior of that defensive line for Seattle. It's a very aggressive defense in terms of its one-gap attacking style. From my standpoint, when I look at Seattle, they are a bit smaller than other defenses. The Patriots have gone against the defenses that have really given the Patriots issues on the interior. Kevin Williams, a very good player for a long, long time with Minnesota, but without Brandon Mebane in the middle of that defensive line for Seattle, the Seahawks have lost a lot, literally and figuratively. Seahawks overall, still a very, very good run defense, but I think as we saw versus Green Bay with Eddie Lacy and the Packers, and James Starks too, let's not forget him, it is a line that is vulnerable somewhat to the run, and I think it'll be very, very important for the Patriots to be balanced, and I think the Patriots can achieve that balance going into this game against the Seahawks. But, you know, when you look at the Patriots' offensive line, it's funny, just when it seems as though they're up against it in a matchup that puts them at a huge disadvantage, the Patriots find a way to overcome. I mean, I think about the situation in the Ravens game. They lose Brian Storick, and Josh Klein has to come in, and the Ravens had success early in that game getting to Tom Brady, but late in the game, the Patriots, again, were able to move the ball extremely well, and Tom was pretty much a clean quarterback as that game went along. Now, so much of that had to do with the nature of the offense with those quick throws, but still the offensive line did its part, and certainly against the Indianapolis Colts, the offensive line had a dominant performance. So I think you make a really good point about this particular matchup. That Patriots offensive line has gone through a lot of periods of criticism this year, but we also tend to forget just how well they've played at other times, and overall, when you're talking about a team that lost only four games in the regular season, and let's face it, one of those losses was, in essence, a throwaway defeat against Buffalo in the regular season finale, and now is on the cusp of another Super Bowl championship, at least in the biggest game in the NFL, up against the Seahawks on Sunday. They made it this far with really the front five, and especially if Stork comes back and plays center for the Patriots, that is a huge lift to the team. But at least we know that Josh Klein can come in and play guard, and Ryan Wendell can move over to center, and they can more than hold their own, as they did against a defense as good as the Baltimore Ravens up front. So those are some of the emails from the PFW guys, and now we're going to turn to our remote correspondent down in Florida, someone who is a regular on this show and once again today shows his devoted loyalty to the Patriots and all things Patriots.com radio programming. He is none other than Nick Baby Love, Nick Salerno in Florida. Nick, you've been on hold for nearly 50 minutes, so I ask, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob. The thing is, you know my medical situation, so it sort of put the game in perspective. I'm curious how you feel, and Scott, I listened to you both carefully. I listened to, I believe it was Mike Reese, right?
It was Mike Reese, yes.
Right. You know, a real, real nice guy. You know,
he's the best.
I'm not a big fan of ESPN, but I like him. So, and of course, Scott's been all over him all week, you know. How do you two really feel, honestly? I mean, I heard you, but what's your gut feeling? Because obviously I'm excited for you as a good friend of mine and somebody that's really making his mark in Patriots Nation. You're calling your first Super Bowl, Bob. You got to have some little butterflies in your stomach.
Oh, it's tremendously exciting, honestly, Nick. And, you know, nervousness is going to set in. There's no doubt about that by the time Sunday night rolls around. You know, it's been so crazy for the last week and a half. You know, whether it was all the hysteria last week and, you know, what transpired after the AFC Championship win, it certainly took a lot of attention away from what loomed on the horizon for the team, much less myself. And now coming out to Arizona, it's been a whirlwind of a few days. Getting ready for the trip, enjoying the rally in City Hall Plaza on Monday, and then, of course, coming out west, having the media day experience yesterday, and let me tell you, it did not disappoint. And in saying that, it was completely disappointing, considering the crowd that was on hand and the nature of it at U.S. Airways Center. And I say that tongue in cheek.
It was
all that was advertised, Nick. It was all that was advertised, with people running around with costumes and asking questions that had nothing to do with the Super Bowl or football to the Patriots and the Seahawks yesterday at media day. But I think today is really the first opportunity now to kind of catch my breath and think about the game and talk about the game, frankly, and try to break down some of the matchups and really invest the time and thought into this game between the Patriots and the Seahawks and not the other stuff that surrounds it.
Well, like I said, it is a circus. It's like going to the county zoo. So, I mean,
you're being kind in that analogy in some respects.
Yeah. So, I mean, where I'm at is obviously for me is somebody very old school and somebody, like I said, who, you know, that I think, you know, when I'm looking at this, Bob, you know, I'm thinking, you know, of Gil and Gino, because I'm sure they're going to have a blast listening to you and Scott and just, you know, your energy and, you know, your fight, because, you know, the fans are going to be behind them. And I think one of the things, as far as hitting some bullet points before you get me off the phone, to me, I look at Gronkowski on offense and Browner and Revis on defense. I think big players make big plays in big games. And those are three players that never had a shot at this to really, you know, just step up to the plate and say, you know what, who cares what happens? Let me go out, punch them in the mouth, and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you know, those are all great candidates, certainly, and very likely candidates to play big roles in Sunday's game. But, you know, I think back, Nick, on last year's Super Bowl. The Seahawks dominated, and you could have chosen any number of Seattle players as the most valuable player in that game. But Malcolm Smith, who's not a starter anymore for the Seahawks, was the MVP of Super Bowl 48. And it would not surprise me whatsoever, not only given his precedent, but really what's taken place in a lot of Super Bowl games. If somebody from the margins, so to speak, not one of the high-profile guys, in other words, has a huge game for the Patriots or the Seahawks. And I think as much attention as we pay to the cornerbacks for the Pats, I think Devin McCourty is going to have a big role in this contest, especially with that deep ball down the middle from Seattle and the scramble situations. Going back to the game in 2012, there were a couple of plays that Seattle made deep downfield on contested balls, and you watch the Seahawk receivers, even the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime. It was on a check with me by Russell Wilson. The Packers really gambled in that sense with their safeties. They really didn't cover the deep part of the field, and you got a one-on-one down the middle of the field, and it was a very good catch made by Curse with Tremont Williams all over him. And so I think, you know, when you look at the Seahawk offense against the Patriots defense, there are going to be situations like that, and the Patriots have to win those battles. And certainly it will be incumbent on Browner and Revis to do their job, but also those other guys in the secondary for the Patriots. And even Patrick Chung falls into that category as well, because when you think about him, he's been a good run defender for the Pats this year, and one would think that he'll have a role from that secondary and run support against Marshawn Lynch. But at the same time, I may have to match up with Luke Wilson, the tight end of the Seahawks, who's made some big plays during the course of this season, going back to that Arizona game that I mentioned a bit earlier, and as well on the two-point conversion against Green Bay in the NFC Championship. I'll tell you a couple of other guys, and Scott Zolak floated the name of Akeem Ayers. He hasn't played much this postseason. You wonder if a guy like that, a little more athletic, will be on the field in combination with Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones, as opposed to, as has been the case since Chandler's return, playing more of a reserve role behind Chandler. It'd be very interesting to see on Sunday what the defensive personnel is for the Patriots, considering the mobility of Wilson and the concerns that the Pats will have regarding that mobility, not only as a runner but a passer. And then when you talk about the Patriots offense, you know, I think Mike Reese made a great point in talking about the little guys for the Pats, Edelman and Amendola, and maybe another that we should keep our eye on out of the backfield. As much attention as LeGarrette Blount has gotten since his great performance against Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game, someone who was inactive for the last Super Bowl for the Pats as a rookie Shane Vereen may have a very prominent role when it's all said and done if the Patriots are to win this game against the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, again, it's just like predicting the outcome of the contest on any given Sunday, but especially it seems on Super Bowl Sunday, it's not always the most high-profile stars who ultimately spell the difference, but it's guys like the Malcolm Smiths of the world who tend to rise to the occasion and really shine in the moment. So it's a very exciting time, looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see who does emerge.
Well, and, you know, I mean, that's an example of, you know, we all, the whole public just got to hear, you know, who you're going to talk about, and example, you just triggered my brain to say, you know, what happens if Brandon Bolden comes out, because we will win the coin toss, I'm very confident about the game, and what if he comes out and hits somebody and they fumble, and the whole special team scenario, God, we got a half a dozen plays you could call besides Brandon Bolden, and I think it's going to be that time of crazy game, you know, I just...
May very well be. I mean, again, you know, a lot of things about this Patriots team stand out. They can hurt the opposition in a lot of different ways, and you noted one of them with big plays and special teams, and not only in terms of blocking kicks, they scored two touchdowns off blocked field goals this year, but they also scored a touchdown, as I think you're alluding to, on a Brandon Bolden hit against Brandon Tate, the former Patriot for Cincinnati, that forced a fumble returned by Kyle Arrington, one of the two special team scores that Arrington had this season. So, Nick, very intriguing. Appreciate your support once again. Hope your health continues to progress, and you'll be in good shape on Sunday and enjoy it in the end. Hopefully the Patriots can give you a big lift Sunday night.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to your call. All I can do is give you my support, and like I know all the people in Patriots Nation, this would be a great thing, not only ring number four, but Bob Solsi and Scott Zolak's call.
Yeah, forget it. Hey, Nick, let me interrupt, and I apologize for that. Forget about Bob Solsi and Scott Zolak. This is about the Patriots team and the Patriots fans. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Let's get to Eldridge, who's on hold. Eldridge, how are you today? What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I'm just waiting for the game. I'm anxious. I almost had two fights at the truck stop because I'm wearing my Patriots gear. And I don't know if anybody wants to talk about Deflategate. I told them deflate this. But one thing, you know, I heard you earlier, and I tried to give a call to them earlier, but I couldn't. You know, everybody, just like you said, man, they're sleeping on their own Seattle offense. You know, and I know everybody said just stop Lynch, stop the run, and Wilson. But I don't know if anybody went back and looked at the last four or five games. Wilson is deadly accurate downfield. Them receivers don't stop. They're striding the ball right over the shoulder. It's hard for the defensive back to get to. I don't know if anybody looked at that or not. You know, we got a good secondary too enough, but we got a couple guys, too, that can get burned deep. You know,
absolutely, and that was the formula back in 2012. I know it's a different year and these are different teams, but that's how Seattle came back and won that game in 2012.
They sure did. They beat us, and then Wilson got burnt by Sidney Rice, who janked that slow. And in that fast, because I knew Sidney from growing up in Gaffney, South Carolina. You know, but I'm just, you know, everybody seemed to, well, if Wilson is, and no, you got to watch those receivers, too. Because they're right. They're kind of like our receivers. You know, they ain't getting the respect that they need. But if you put them up against anybody else's receivers, they're making the plays when it counts the most.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, they're productive because they're in an offense that allows them to be productive with a quarterback who also allows them to be productive. And I think it's a great point that you make, and that's the thing that stands out to me. You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, who throw for high completion rates and generally have good touchdown-to-interception ratios. But when I look at Wilson, you know, what the performance that we saw 2 weeks ago early with all those turnovers – that was uncharacteristic. I know the Seahawk offense, especially lately, has struggled to get going early in games in the eyes of many, but that was very uncharacteristic. And a couple of those were on as receivers. I mean, the first pick especially was a drop by Curse. It was a deflected pass that was intercepted by Clinton Ha-Ha-Dix. He had a perfect passer rating for what that's worth. The final 5 minutes of the game, it was a 158.3 on his last nine pass attempts.
I know. Like I said, he's deadly accurate. Deadly accurate. You know, but one thing I'm wondering is, if I was Seattle and I had Browner, on my team, so I know how to attack Browner. You know, I won't attack Revis too much. I go after Browner because you know what his capability is and how he likes to play. And you put somebody to fast on him or whatever, you know, chances are they might get open. So that's how I would look at it also in the passing game. Okay, Bob, but you have a good one. And I'd love to hear your comment, and I'll talk to you a little later.
Eldridge, I appreciate it, and thanks again for standing up for the Pats. Don't go into harm's way, but I'll say this. I think in a week you will continue to wear your Patriots gear proudly, and I think on a couple of counts. There are a lot of facts we don't know yet, and a lot of what's been reported has been a complete rush to judgment. A lot of people around the country, it won't change their opinion when it's all said and done, but I think those who support the Patriots and follow the Patriots may think otherwise. So thanks again, sir. Eldridge. All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And as we continue on the program, again, from Chandler, Arizona, on site at the team hotel with the Patriots, Bob Soucy with producer Kevin Collins. Zach Lane is back in our studio at the Gillette Stadium, Subway Fresh broadcast studio, in fact, in Foxborough. And we can't thank him enough the last couple of days for fighting through the elements and making it down to Foxborough to be on hand for PFW Radio, of course, for Playbook, all the guys, John Rook, Fred, Eric, Paul, Andy, myself. We truly appreciate the efforts of Zach and what he's done. I saw his dad out here. His dad works for another radio station that does not employ yours truly. I work for 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, but Doug's one of the great people in the business too, and I might add a Navy man as well. And Zach has done a great job doing his dad very proud by getting into the studio today, and Kevin Collins is with me doing everyone proud by his work out here on this remote site. And Kevin has had to really create a makeshift studio at the team hotel. We are in an area. You tell me, Kevin. You're the expert when it comes to this stuff.
I just feel bad for Zach because I'm here in shorts and a T-shirt. That's all.
Well, let's not rub it. We're thinking of everybody back home, especially, of course, in New England, dealing with the snowfall the last couple of days. I continue to get pictures from my wife outside the house with our two young kids, and it's been a trying time for so many, but I want to let you know again that we're thinking of you. And want to, as well, Kevin, say that it has been a really neat experience out here thus far for me. Just want to get your impressions as somebody who's been around the team for a long, long while and works behind the scenes really from the start of training camp through the end of the season and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of fun doing this. As you said, it is challenging doing a remote like this. We're not exactly in a studio. We're not on Radio Row. But we've made the best we can out of this setup. And for all intents and purposes, I think it's served the purpose. But this is my second Super Bowl, so I'm a veteran compared to Bob Soucy here.
Yeah, we're in a little enclave off the hotel lobby
near
the business center. And if you can picture the counter at a cafe, the setting that you'll find, in your typical Seattle-born chain of coffee shops and cafes, or even the local Java House. That's basically where we are right now, broadcasting. We do have a very vivid flat-screen panel here with the NFL
bad.
Network, seeing highlights and trying to monitor what's being reported from. The rest of the Super Bowl 49 scene, but right now in our own little world here at the team hotel in Chandler, Arizona. Again, Kevin and crew have done a great, great job, and it's certainly a thrill to be a part of all this excitement and anticipation as we count down the time toward kickoff of Super Bowl 49. And speaking of anticipation and excitement, Big Al is on the line with us. And Al, what are your thoughts going into this weekend's matchup of the Pats and the Seahawks?
All right, well, how you doing there, Bob? I hope you're enjoying yourself out there. Looking forward to Sunday. Nice to get this. I feel like we're out of the woods on all of the bathroom talk. And three cheers for Robert Kraft, though. I think he was the one, basically, by his statement the other night, he pretty much changed the subject. I think we've been trying to change the subject for about a week, and he finally did.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I think he did. I think, as Mike Reese told us as well, I think Robert really set the tone for the week, and it was extremely important for him to do that. Unprecedented, really, for an owner at a Super Bowl site. And, Robert Kraft has been in the 2 decades plus that he's owned the New England Patriots, again, really at the forefront of the league. And when it comes to, you know, setting an example, building an organization that not only succeeds on the field, but also makes a positive impact in the community. And he's someone that, you know, has never had, even I heard Bill, I'm going to quote Bill Polian. I was, and to try to make the next point that I was going to look to articulate myself. I was driving into the stadium the other day and I heard Bill Polian, of course, no friend of the Patriots. And, and certainly not a Patriot apologist. Of course, many Patriot fans, if not most, would consider him a Patriot antagonist, even in his commentary role right now. Bill Polian said something about Robert Kraft. He said, "I would never question the integrity of Robert Kraft." He said that on Sirius Satellite Radio as I was driving to the stadium a couple of days ago. And I think a man whose integrity is beyond reproach got up, and he set the tone for this week. And, you know, I think, you know, some of the Patriot players have said about Bill Belichick's comments on Saturday, I certainly would believe that to a man, everybody in the organization, especially those 53 guys on the active roster and the coaching staff preparing for the game of the Seahawks, more than appreciate what was done by their owner to kick off the Super Bowl week here in Arizona.
What was so impactful about that, too, Bob, is that Robert Kraft is not one of these out front owners that's griping about a lot of stuff. He's not Jerry Jones. You know, he's more subdued. No. So when he does, so to speak, complain about something, I think it has a little bit more, you know, credibility to it. If he was one of these guys who was griping about the league all the time,
I've never heard him complain, say, period. Well, I've never, you know, I may be wrong, but I've never heard him complain,
Bob,
period.
Kraft. But because he's so infrequent with it, you know, there wasn't a single, it was sort of like one of these political things. Somebody makes a statement, they walk away, they clearly are not there to take questions. Usually, assembled members of the media would shout questions at the guy, you know, while he's walking away. It's almost as a way to show him up. They do it to politicians all the time.
Well, we saw some of that
Not a single question shouted at Robert Kraft as he left the podium the other day. So, you know, good for him. We can get back to football. And I don't know what these guys, I think that these leaks have been very disappointing.
Well, Al, let me stop you right there, too, because I want to keep the focus on football in this program. But, that's a subject that we can spend the next week on. And, you know, and I think it's a big problem in this business, and it's a big problem in the media today. And I don't want to get too high on a soapbox here.
Right.
When it comes to social media in particular and trying to get a report out, a quote-unquote report out, in 140 characters or less, speaking of Twitter, of course, it creates a rush to judgment. And in my opinion, far from thorough reporting and investigation. And you're right, because a lot of the leaks have been contradicted. There have been inconsistencies. And from the start of this, you know, I've had two prevailing questions. And this is going to be my thought about it, about this whole issue for the rest of the show. To my knowledge, there's no precedent. The NFL has never measured footballs at halftime or postgame. So The NFL has no model of comparison on the atmospheric effects on a football from the time they're measured. Okay, so let's start.
So
number two, when people say as have been reported that while the Colts balls were within the legal range, as far as I know, there has been no report where the Colts balls started. So for those again, and I'm only bringing those two issues up because many have tried to debunk not only the words of Bill Belichick on Saturday, but the words of any number of scientists, including an MIT scientist quoted by the Boston Globe a couple of days ago, among several scientists who said that what Belichick laid out on Saturday was entirely plausible. And from my own personal experience, I have a good friend whose father is in the MIT Lincoln Laboratory, worked with the FAA to create the mid-air crash prevention system for Raytheon at the time, has worked with NASA and the FAA, and that person reached out to me over the weekend and citing the ideal gas law, said, look, this is what likely happened, and it's exactly what Bill Belichick articulated, essentially, to the media. Now, that all that being said, and you talked about the inconsistencies, mm-hmm. we've already seen varying reports on how it got started. First, it was DeQuell Jackson intercepted a ball and noticed that the ball seemed to be underinflated. Well, we learned later that was not true. Then we heard and read that Mike Adams in Week 11 with his two interceptions raised suspicions. Then Jay Glazer came out and said, well, the Baltimore Ravens tipped off the Indianapolis Colts. So, again, I'm just using that as an example to how quickly things change and how poorly things are initially reported. And so as I look at this, and I said to, when I've been asked about it on other media outlets around the country being interviewed after the AFC Championship and before the Super Bowl, let's wait for the facts to come out, and then we'll form our judgments and opinions. And unfortunately for this organization, there was a presumption of guilt from the start, and it's something the Patriots have had to deal with. And I think you're right. I think what Robert Kraft did to start this Super Bowl week after what Bill Belichick did to close out the weekend in Foxborough, again, for them to speak with the conviction they did, it says to me that the owner and the head coach are convinced there are no improprieties that the NFL is going to uncover. And, even when you look at the report of someone handling the footballs and going to an area off the field, as was reported, again, a person of great interest, as Jay Glazer reported, well, it turned out that person was in a bathroom for 90 seconds. It will continue to go on in various circles. It's embarrassing to me that it led the national newscasts, all three nightly newscasts, on a single night. All that said and done.
Was it sweeps week or something?
Yeah, well, and now all that said and done, what's most important right now is that the Patriots seem to be very, very focused on this game. And I think that the conversation from this second on this program, what little time we have remaining, is strictly about the game. But I also
I have a football question. I'll hang
up. I also think for the national media. Go ahead, quickly.
Do you think that Cam Chancellor is going to match up one-on-one with Gronk? And how do you see that going if that's what they do?
I really have no idea about that. I mean, I think there's a good possibility of that. But again, the Seahawks generally don't vary from what they typically do. And they've been a kind of a cover three team. Now, they will do some, they will add some wrinkles here and there. But, we'll see. I got to think that, for Pete Carroll, that's really and Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks, that's the one thing that, that right now is it maybe. It's been most difficult in trying to determine as how they're going to deal with Rob Gronkowski, because there's different things the Patriots can do, again, to try to take advantage of the attention he's going to draw from the defense on the other side. So we'll see. That's been the matchup forecast by most, I think, analyzing this game going in. But who knows what will happen on Sunday. I appreciate it.
Well, there you go. I think that's the only way they slow us down, Bob, is if they could somehow – figure out a way to single up on Gronk and at least hold their own in that matchup, because everybody else has had to box them and double them and triangle and everything else. If they can put just one guy on him,
all right, Al,
and get away with it, that may help them with the rest of the field.
Aren't many safeties in football that would be able to take Gronkowski one-on-one. I will say that Eric Weddle, the Chargers, did a pretty good job, all things considered, in that game, and Chancellor is one of the best. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Al, appreciate time, okay?
Have a great
Thanks, Big Al, calling from Georgia. And we're going to spend the next half hour of our program hearing from the Patriots players themselves. Today we had an opportunity to speak with several Pats players, get their thoughts about this week. Some of them even talked about really the excitement of being at the Super Bowl, what's taken place the last couple of days, and they'll also share their thoughts about the Seattle Seahawks. We'll do all that right after this on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, Pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Have a question for the voice of the Patriots?
Shotgun snap against the four-man rush. Plenty of time to throw toward Gronkowski. Makes the grab left seat. Stiff arms the defender at the 25. Right free at the 20. Right to the 15, 10. Angling right to the 5. Gronkowski dives to the goal line. His third touchdown for the Patriots.
Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Bob Soucy Show.
And we welcome you back to Chandler, Arizona. We're on site at the Patriots Team Hotel before Super Bowl 49. Bob Soucy again with producers Zach Lane and Kevin Collins. Happy you've joined us today. We, of course, look forward to the matchup Sunday on the Patriots Radio Network with Scott Zolak. I'll be on hand calling the game on our string of affiliates across New England. You can also listen to the Patriots home broadcast, or the Patriots broadcast, that is. It's the home broadcast for New Englanders, so the Pats will be designated as the visiting team in this Super Bowl, so they'll be in their white jerseys with the blue pants on Sunday against the Seahawks. And, of course, you can also listen to us via the Internet, NFL's Audio Pass, or Sirius Satellite Radio. And then, of course, stay tuned as well on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand and the boys, Paul and Andy, will break it all down as the Patriots take on the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 49. New England looking, of course, for its fourth Super Bowl championship. And for Tom Brady, he will make a sixth start in the Super Bowl, something no quarterback has done, and he will tie Mike Lodish, the former Buffalo Bill and Denver Bronco, for the most Super Bowl appearances in NFL history. Well, one guy is making his first appearance in the Super Bowl. In fact, a guy that came from a team that finished at the bottom of the NFL this year is linebacker slash defensive end Akeem Ayers, who we had a chance to visit with today during the Patriots media availability this morning at their team hotel. And remember, here's a guy that was traded to the Patriots right around the NFL's trade deadline this year and immediately made an impact. It's easy to forget how vital Akeem Ayers was to New England's defense during that period when Chandler Jones was on the sideline with a hip injury. And we asked Akeem Ayers about this journey he's been on to go from the woeful Tennessee Titans, where he was not even able to get on the field often as an inactive for the Titans, despite being a second-round pick from several years ago, but coming off a couple of surgeries in the offseason with a new coaching staff and a different defensive scheme. He was often inactive the first part of the year. Then he gets dealt to the Patriots, and now here he is handling questions at the Super Bowl. We asked Akeem Ayers to describe his journey, his experience this season from the worst of the NFL to the best in the game.
It's just going through, you know, everything I've been through as far as, like, just being inactive all those games and not playing, and to being traded, to not knowing what to expect once I got here, and just really just, I just really been just feeling my role, whatever that will be when I got here. So, I mean, it's just been a lot, but I mean, like, I've been enjoying it these past, you know, few months since I've been here in New England, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. I've been made a lot of new friends on the team, and just enjoy playing football and just be having a lot of fun and just enjoy this whole Super Bowl experience.
Cutler from the gun takes the shotgun snap, drops back under pressure. Cutler escapes to his left, but he's wrapped up by the newest of Patriots, Akeem Ayers, who takes him down for a sack at the 6.
I've been appreciating everything, because like I said, it was a point, you know, just a few months ago where I wasn't playing at all. You know, I wasn't taking any game reps. I wasn't, you know, I was pretty much been a practice player. So just being, you know, since day when I got here, I just been pretty much been appreciative of everything, just taking everything in, enjoying everything, and just taking advantage, you know, every opportunity that I got here.
Rivers back in the pocket, throws down the middle, intercepted by Akeem Ayers. Good break on the ball, and an interception at the 30. He was able to dart in front of Keenan Allen.
That's what you get when you play defense.
We just get back to just really just our regular routine, just, you know, getting back to our game plan, getting back to our practices, focusing back on, you know, Seattle and what we need to do to win is just getting back to our usual routine.
Wilson is back to throw. No play action fake there. Starts a roll to his right. Looks, fires it long and deep end zone. Caught. Touchdown. A touchdown reception by Doug Baldwin.
He hardly makes any, you know, bad decisions. You know, he's gonna scramble, he's gonna extend plays, and if he doesn't have a receiver open, he's gonna run it, or if he has a receiver open, it's usually a big play down the field. So I mean, just his decision making, how he's able to run, you know, is something that's, you know, that we pay attention to as a D line, because you know, a lot of times on us to really to be in sync with our pass rush to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as our rush plan and just keeping him in the pocket as much as we can and not letting him scramble out for big plays.
Back to pass, Wilson looks, getting in trouble, rolling to his left, now giving more ground back inside the 40 at the 40-yard line, starts to run forward and is going to be hit and spin away from the hit. That's ridiculous. He gets it back to the 28-yard line and a first down. The Patriots have chased him all the way back to the 40-yard line. Brandon Spikes finally brings him down, but my goodness.
Had him dead to right.
Talk about giving a guy a second, third, and fourth chance. I know Wilson can scramble, but gee whiz.
Yeah, Russell Wilson can scramble. Gil, Russell Wilson this year with 849 yards rushing as the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, and along with Marshawn Lynch, they combined for 2,155 rushing yards. That's more than 27 other teams in the National Football League in 2014. And here's another thing about Wilson. Again, a lot of people have questioned the Seattle offense on this program. Certainly there have been some who've emailed us and wonder about the Seahawks offense in particular as a slow-starting offense, and no doubt the Seahawks had their problems with those turnovers and ineffectiveness against Green Bay for much of that game in the NFC Championship. But consider these numbers as well. In the postseason, during Russell Wilson's very brief career, as he starts his second Super Bowl, by the way, in 3 years for the Seahawks, 111 completions in 181 attempts. That's a 613 completion rate. 1,573 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, quarterback rating 96.3. The only quarterbacks in NFL history with a higher passing rating are Bart Starr, Kurt Warner, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Russell Wilson has been exceptional in the most trying of circumstances in the NFL since his career began. And so this is a guy, again, who last week found that ability to flip the switch when he had played horribly. He was atrocious for much of that game against the Green Bay Packers. But when it counted, when the game was on the line, he was able to turn things around. And you talk about different styles, young and old, mobile, and more of a classic pocket passer and contrasting the two quarterbacks. But the two things that stand out to me about both of them, one, they are great leaders on the field. And despite the reports out of Seattle earlier this year that there was friction in the locker room and there was dissension, especially directed at Russell Wilson from some of his teammates, it was clearly evident against the Green Bay Packers. He was leading that team emotionally and, of course, literally in that come-from-behind win in the NFC Championship. And the other thing, and it goes with their competitiveness too, by the way, is that these guys have that ability in the clutch to make the big plays, make the right decisions and the big plays. And it's something that you know, very few have in all of sport, but especially at the quarterback position. So the words of Akeem Ayers, again talking about his experience in transitioning eventually to Russell Wilson. And Dante Hightower has tremendous respect, of course, for the Seattle Seahawks offense, and in particular, Marshawn Lynch and his ability to break tackles. So Dante today, when he had a chance to sit down at the table, swarmed by media, spoke about the importance of tackling and doing so with a gang tackling style.
We practice that each week, almost every day. We have like a tackling drill or a tackling circuit that we go through. But I mean, obviously, that's not going to come down to actually tackling somebody. It's really going to come down to want to and will, whether you want to do it or not. And you know, I feel like whatever 11 people are out, they're going to be on the field. They're going to be willing to go. So everybody's going to have to do the job, and everybody's going to have to get to the ball. That'll be the safest and best way for us to play well and to, you know, slow these guys down.
Handoff comes to the backfield, Marshawn Lynch, and he is wrapped up. Boy, I tell you what, he got across the line of scrimmage in a hurry.
They're a real good football team. They have a really good offense. I think the best thing for us to do is to play the run very well on first and second down and force these guys to be in third and long, make them feel uncomfortable, put them in a situation that they don't want to be in.
Direct snap to Wilson. Looks, fires to the right, and it is caught. Wonderful catch inside the 20 to the 18-yard line. He had two defenders on him. Going up for it was the tight end, Zach Miller, the former Oakland Raider.
That's triple coverage Russell Wilson put that ball into.
Their offense has big playability all the time. I think you just got to kind of contain them and then kind of keep them on his toes as far as whether it's blitzing or showing them a different look or, adding more pressure.
Lacy shifts over to the left side of the quarterback, and Rodgers calls out the play, takes the shotgun snap. Here comes a late blitzer. Hightower to the quarterback, takes him down at the 15.
Hightower!
A sack for New England.
Just enjoying it, taking it all in. It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so definitely trying to take it in, but at the same time, still letting it be a business trip. But I'm pretty sure things are gonna start picking up as we start to get towards the end of this week.
Second and 10 coming up from the 11. Ball's on the far hash, left hash mark, and Geno Smith will duck under center. Bilal Powell in the backfield, single setback. Sudfeld, the tight end, in motion left to right. Decker split right for the receiver left. A handoff to Powell, runs it left, drilled by Hightower. Rammed him down as he plugged the hole.
The way that I was taught this system and taught, how to play football and stuff. I really just try to treat this game almost like another week. Obviously, it's more important than what it is. But, just as far as, how I get ready for a game, how I watch film, if I got to double back on some things, I will, which won't ever hurt. But, just trying to treat this like a regular week. Just I got things that I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I watch my film, I take care of my body, so I do all of that, and just trying to treat it like a regular game week.
Play action fake by Wilson. He's back to throw. He looks, he fires it long and deep. His man is open, should be caught. It is. Touchdown. Saw that one coming with a minute and 18 to go. Seattle takes the lead on a 47-yard touchdown pass.
Now's cash money.
The one word that you can use to describe a guy like that is a competitor, and he's always going to compete. I mean, they could have easily just changed Will and just ran the ball the entire game and tried to come back that way. But the fact that Pete Carroll trusts him and the way that he leads his team, you can tell he's a competitor, and he came out and he competed the full 60 minutes, and that was obviously a big change later on in that game that he helped. He was a big key to it.
Tower, the young linebacker for the Patriots, really coming into his own this season in his third year in the NFL. And I think you can tell, too, from just listening to Dante Hightower, as I was referencing while hearing him to Kevin Collins, he's a really nice guy and a very likable representative for the Patriots on and off the field. He calls himself a football nerd, and he says it very proudly. And you can certainly tell that he was reared right, and as a football player, too, established a very, very solid foundation well before the NFL, and in particular at the University of Alabama, playing for a couple of national championship teams with the Crimson Tide. And now he gets set to take on the Seattle Seahawks, of course, for the most important title in football in Super Bowl 49. Dante Hightower talking about the Seahawks, starting with Marshawn Lynch, concluding with Russell Wilson. But when you look at Marshawn Lynch and the importance of tackling him and the yards he gains after contact, on a whole, this is somebody who's rushed for more yards in football since 2011. Bill Belichick earlier this week called him probably the best back the Patriots have played. And again, going back to 2011, 1,181 carries have produced 5,357 yards. That's an average of 4.5 yards per carry, but also 48 touchdowns rushing for Marshawn Lynch. 5,357 yards, most in the NFL since 2011. It's something Jonathan Casillas said as well a couple of days ago. In essence, concurring with what Mike Reese told us early in our program, don't forget about Lynch. Don't sleep on Lynch as a pass catcher. The Packers did. He had one reception in the game against Green Bay in the NFC Championship, and it was an enormous play in that come-from-behind win for the Seahawks. The Patriots not only have to focus on Marshawn Lynch as a runner, they've got to be aware of him as a pass catcher, potentially out of the backfield, especially when Wilson goes the other way on a rollout and throws back toward Lynch, leaking out of the backfield. He was a very good running back, obviously, in college at Cal. We talked with Shane Vereen early today about the versatility one needs to play at Cal, at least needed under Jeff Tedford when he was the head coach. The running backs who come out of Cal, as evidenced by Vereen, by Justin Forsett, who we recently saw as a member of the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC divisional round, and of course Marshawn Lynch, is that not only do you have to run it well to be on the field, you got to block and pass protection, and you have to catch it and be a threat in the passing game as a running back at the University of California during Jeff Tedford's career as a head coach there. Marshawn Lynch was that in college, came out, of course, to the Buffalo Bills, and has been that with the Seattle Seahawks, although mostly we think about him as a football player, as the beast breaking tackles, of course, en route to the end zone. But he's also a very good pass catcher as well. And since I mentioned Shane Vereen and the University of California Golden Bears, let's move on to Shane today. We asked him about his experience this time around in his second Super Bowl, 3 years removed from his first experience, when in essence he was a redshirt for the Patriots. As a rookie, he was inactive for Super Bowl 46, but of course now as a veteran in the NFL, he will very much have a very important role for the Patriots in this Sunday, Super Bowl 49 against the Seattle Seahawks. Here's Shane Vereen.
I say in the past, not that I wasn't focused, but I wasn't focused in this light, in this situation where I know I'm going to play. So I guess that takes into account this time. But now I'm looking at it as a regular work week. You know, you got to study up, you got to watch film, you got to prepare yourself for a tough game on Sunday.
Smith to the right knee, one last time for Kansas City. And the final seconds, finally, a lapse at Arrowhead.
You know, I think a lot of the adversity that we saw earlier in the season brought us together closer. I think what we go through in the offseason, what we go through in camp, all the sweat, all the aches and pains brings us together. I think, us being a close-knit group is a locker room full of good guys that like playing the game and that like each other.
Brady off the shotgun step, has time, now rolling right. Tom pulls up, fires deep down the right side. There's a wide open receiver, Shane Vereen, diving, has the catch, has a touchdown! Patriots!
Bang, bang! What a way to start football on a Thursday night at Gillette Stadium!
But we have a lot of good guys, a lot of key parts that can do a lot of things. You know, we never really know how it's going to get done, but at the end of the day, as long as it gets done, that's the goal.
There won't be a need to snap it again in this AFC Championship game. The New England Patriots thoroughly dominating the Indianapolis Colts. The quarterback who has started and won more postseason games than any other is bound for a sixth start in the Super Bowl. The head coach who has won more playoff games than any other will lead the Patriots there in 2 weeks to confront the Seattle Seahawks. New England will seek the NFL Summit in the Valley of the Sun. They're going to Glendale for Super Bowl 49.
We're already part of something special. Hopefully on Sunday we can go out there and just finish it.
Shane Vereen again meeting with us today as the Patriots players were made available to the media at the team hotel this morning. Seahawks had their media availability a short time thereafter in their hotel. It will continue that process tomorrow. It will be the last day that the players speak to the media. Then on Friday, the head coaches will have a joint press conference, Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, who have tremendous mutual respect for one another. It's really been something that I think has surprised me and many others this week, just how highly Bill thinks of Pete, and likewise Pete thinks of Bill. You would assume that there's a mutual respect for the coaching accomplishments in the pro and college games, but there really seems to be a genuine affinity for one another. And Bill's been very outspoken for his level of respect for Pete Carroll and the Seahawks organization, extending to general manager John Schneider. But in particular, talking about Pete Carroll with very endearing terms over the course of the last week and a half, of course, as he's looked ahead to this matchup with the Seahawks and Carroll's team. And Pete Carroll likewise showing his respect for Bill Belichick. And you think back to Carroll preceding Belichick with the Patriots. Robert Kraft has hired two coaches in his career as the owner of the New England Patriots, and both are in this Super Bowl, one trying to repeat as a champion, becoming the first, hopefully in his eyes, becoming the first head coach to lead a team to back-to-back Super Bowl titles since his counterpart, Bill Belichick, led the Patriots to those back-to-back championships in 2003-2004 in the midst of a 21-game winning streak for the Pats. So you talk about the two head coaches, and when they talk about one another, nothing but respect for Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. And, again, I think one of the things that really stands out is just how much they have praised one another this week in preparation for this game. And on Friday, they will have their joint press conference. And then, of course, Saturday, we can take a breath and brace ourselves, get our rest for Sunday's kickoff of Super Bowl 49. LeGarrette Blount will need to be ready to go. He, in the eyes of many, will play a very important role in this contest, as you'd imagine, coming off his 3-touchdown, 100-yard-plus performance against the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC Championship. If, indeed, the Seattle Seahawks are vulnerable with a smaller, quicker line in comparison to many the Pats have gone against this year, then a big bruising back who has great quickness and ability to break big plays like LeGarrette Blount, who can also break a lot of tackles as well, gaining a lot of yards after contact, just like Marshawn Lynch, will indeed be on center stage for New England. He's a guy who began his career with Tampa Bay, came to the Patriots in a trade, of course, signed with the Steelers as a free agent in the offseason, signed a 2-year deal. Things did not go well for him there. He started pretty well, but his season took a turn. His role was reduced. He walked off the field before the completion of a Monday night game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was released. He was re-signed by the Patriots and has had a huge last quarter of the season and thus far postseason for the Patriots, of course, with that performance at Gillette Stadium 2 weeks ago in the AFC Championship game. And now he is savoring every moment of this opportunity to play in Super Bowl 49. LeGarrette Blount. And Zach Lane readying the sound from LeGarrette Blount. Kevin Collins standing by, getting set to make sure that we have the sound from Blount on tap and in the system. And, you know, again, LeGarrette, a guy that has shown his personality once more to the national media. It's been interesting, and Mike Reese made this point earlier, the Patriots have been very loose and confident here on site in Chandler, Arizona. Bill Belichick has been very relaxed the last couple of days dealing with the media, whether he's been answering questions about a matchup of Croatian coaches on Sunday or a matchup of, you know, favorite puppets and whatnot, as he was asked yesterday by Gerard Mayo's daughter about his favorite puppet. And then Bill turned the table and asked her about her favorite puppet. But, you know, I chuckle at the question that was posed to Bill about the Croatian coaches of Croatian descent. And Bill, going up against Pete Carroll, you know, thought back to his matchups with Nick Saban back in the Dolphins days for Saban as the head coach of Miami in their divisional battles. And Bill has often talked about Rob Ninkovich being a proud and strong Croat. So, you know, again, he's been very relaxed this week on every conceivable subject matter that he's probably been asked about in recent memory. And going into this game, his team has taken on a very similar approach, I think, by Patriot standards. And LeGarrette Blount has been very engaging with the media the last couple of days. Yesterday got a lot of attention for some words about the Seattle defense, in essence saying that, you know, they're pretty good, but, you know, they're not immortal. And today LeGarrette Blount was speaking more about himself and just what it means to have this opportunity in the Super Bowl.
It's a great opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity, and it's going to be fun. You know, just the fact that, you know, that you're going to be on the national stage, you're going to be the only game on, there's no more games playing, and so much at stake. You got the chance to leave that game as a world champion.
Brock motions left to right. Blount's in the backfield. He takes the handoff. LeGarrette blasts it straight ahead. Curves left across the five between two defenders. Touchdown, Patriots!
Blount. Trauma has returned to the playoffs at Gillette Stadium for the second straight year.
You win a ring, it's going to be pretty historic. You know, you're going to be a part of history. There's only been 49 teams that, or there's only been 49 Super Bowls. You know, and we've won a couple of them here. You know, and Seattle has won one, trying to win another one. And I haven't been a part of any, you know, so I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of history for sure. So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that happens.
Gronkowski motions right. Overload there. Hand off to Blount. A blast up the middle. Diving across the goal line. Touchdown, Patriots. Three is a charm for LeGarrette Blount.
I know it was pretty emotional when I won the AFC Championship game. I've heard a lot of guys that was here for the first couple Super Bowls that winning the Super Bowl is a 100 times better.
One on the backfield, single setback, takes the handoff, runs it left, jump cut wide, flips it here, upfield across the 45, out of another, to midfield, and LeGarrette is taken down.
I'm really excited about it. It's a great opportunity. Like I said, there's a lot of guys that have been in this league 8, 9, 10 years that hasn't even made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the fact that I'm going to even be participating in the Super Bowl is just, it's a crazy feeling.
And LeGarrette Blount speaking for the two of us. It will be an amazing feeling, certainly, and an amazing privilege to be there Sunday with Scott Zolak at University of Phoenix Stadium to call Super Bowl 49 on the New England Patriots radio network. And for those involved in this particular broadcast and podcast, of course, from Chandler, Arizona, all the way to Foxborough and beyond, Zach Lane back in our studios at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios at Gillette Stadium, and Kevin Collins here on site at the Patriots Team Hotel in Chandler, Arizona. This is Bob Soucy. Thanking you so much for logging on and listening, downloading, joining us on the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com. Enjoy a great Super Bowl 49 as the Pats take on the Seattle Seahawks. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five, he dives to the end zone, touchdown, and the lead for the Patriots.
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off to Ridley, runs it right, Ridley dives to the goal line, he's in again, touchdown, Patriots.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning, play fake, a throw to the near side, ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving, break on the ball.
He's got it!
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.